Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in. I am Susie Larson, and if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Dr. David Garrison. Second time he's been on the program. I love talking to that guy. He's got some data that will blow your mind on how Jesus is reaching out to Muslims, and they're coming to faith in Christ in droves. I'm not kidding you. You've got to go back and hear the podcast because God is moving around the world, and we as his people need to be praying, raising up more laborers for the harvest, praying for the Muslim people that their eyes would open to the living God who has a heart for them. Well, we're switching gears now, talking to my friend Jimmy Page. We've had him on before, and we promised you we'd bring him on to the towards the end of the year so that we could kind of have a reset before we head into the new year. So I've got two questions for you, and I've got some Christmas candy bars left over from the great giveaway yesterday. So the first handful of you to get on the air will get a book and a Christmas candy bar. Here's my question for you, okay? If you were to look back at last year and sum up how this year went for you in one word, what would it be, okay? Look back over this year, and it doesn't, you know, maybe this was a tough year for you, but how would you sum up last year, 2014, in one word? And then two, you don't have to have this answer finalized yet, and Jimmy and I want to help you work it through, but if you have an initial sense, if there's a word that God wants you to focus on, what's going to be your word for 2015? Now, as the show unfolds, we'll explain even how you can discern maybe what word God has for you. But I want to hear from you. And Jimmy's a great guy to talk to just to help you sort of process this through if you've got a word that you're actually not sure, you know, what it means exactly. So on your mark, get set. I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. 2484. What, in one word, how would you describe how 2014 has gone? And maybe that's enough of an answer for you. But if you've got also a sense about a word that God wants to put before you and kind of keep as your plumb line, what would that be? 877-933-2484. I actually have some espresso dark chocolate candy bars and chocolate mint and caramel drizzle. Come on now. 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest and we'll get him on the show. Jimmy Page serves as Vice President of Field Ministry and National Director of Health and Fitness for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He currently hosts a daily radio segment and a national podcast on iTunes called Fit Life Today, offering a blend of spiritual, mental, and physical health principles. He's a frequent speaker and trainer for corporate and nonprofit organizations. He and his wife, Ivalice, live in Maryland and have with their four children, Jimmy, Jacob, John, and Gracie. You can find his influencer page on the web at myfaithradio.com. Jimmy, welcome. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks
Yay.
For having me again.
All right. And we've got a handful of people calling in, so we're so glad. We love it when they get a chance to talk with you. And I told you this before, but one of my favorite things when you come on, I feel like God speaks through you in such a prophetic, wise way. Because the times when people have called in and said, you know, here's my word, we've worked together and prayed, and I feel like you've helped them unpack it in such a way that's brought greater understanding. So I'm excited and we're expectant about what God's going to do this hour.
Hey, me too. I love that part of the show, just the personal interaction and being able to get some insight into the callers, what they're going through, and how one word might help them.
Yes. And so I'm going to get to the question that I always ask first about a scripture that's on your heart, but we've already got calls coming in, so I want to get to the first few that are ready, and then we'll jump in. 877-933-2484. Kathy's calling in from Minneapolis. Kathy, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
Good. You had to think about that for a minute, huh?
Yeah. Me too.
I needed to find the right word.
Yes. And you get the first Christmas candy bar. So how would you describe in one word what 2014 was like for you?
Miracles.
Really? Say more.
You know, we went through a hard time at the beginning of this year, and my son-in-law attempted to commit suicide, and we came through. And he never went through it by the grace of God. and he had a full-time business that he owned. He let that go, and we had prayed for a job for him, and that job came through. Mm. I mean, there's so many miracles that God has bestowed upon us that it's not even, I mean, I can't even count them.
I'm so glad, Kathy. You know, you have to walk through a hard time to be in need of a miracle and to even appreciate it. And I've got Jimmy here, so I'm wondering, if is there a word or a sense of focus that God is giving you for 2015? And I'd just love Jimmy to speak into that. Is there a word for you that you have in front of you?
Just more in prayer and thanksgiving.
Hmm. Go ahead, Jimmy, if you want to say anything to Kathy.
Well, I got to say, when you mentioned the word miracles, just to go back in time, when you mentioned that, I think so often we don't believe that God does the miraculous anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see in our ordinary lives, we just don't tend to look for it or know what it looks like. So for you to be able to look at the challenges, the adversities, the hard times, miracles almost always come out of adversity. You know, it's not when you're on the mountaintop, because in those moments we have a sense that we don't really need God, even though we do. So when you say miracles, that means you've been in the crucible. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been in those hard times. So when you started talking about your son-in-law and just how God has worked through that situation, you see God move in a very personal way. And, man, we can pin the word on that. That is miraculous. Mm. It's a miracle how God intervenes in many ways.
And he's so willing to. Kathy, thank you so much for your call. I've got a few more to get to, Jimmy. We've got Rose calling in from Eden Prairie. Rose, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe this last year?
Transformational.
Say more.
Well, I began mentoring women who are younger than me, and as a result, I had to spend a lot more time really delving into the Word and having it become a part of me. In the process, I didn't realize that it was affecting me and changing me much more than my mentees.
So good. You know what I want to do, because these calls are coming in? Let's talk about what the Word from this year passed. Jimmy, you speak into it, and then we'll have you kind of unpack the importance of getting a word before us. But what about transformational you want to speak to Rose about?
Well, I love hearing that word. It's such a powerful word. And so few people actually experience legitimate life transformation. We just aren't very good at it, because I think a lot of times we don't invest in others. So when you said you were mentoring, I immediately thought you're probably going to learn more being the mentor than you would if you were the mentee.
Mm-hmm.
So that transformation, God tends to put us in those situations where we're forced to grow, we're forced to evolve, we're forced to be transformed, and then we can ascribe it to him. We can see the hand of God in those moments to make us into the man or the woman that we're made to be.
Yeah, we don't even realize the treasure that's waiting us when we say, here we are, Lord, send us. I'll obey. And
that's
Wow, it's amazing. Rose, thanks for that call. Julie's calling in from Duluth. This is a curious word. I see it on the screen. Julie, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me your word.
For last year?
Mm-hmm.
Struggled.
Oh, struggle. Okay, I see the word acquiesce. Is that this year?
That was last year. Acquiesce is this year.
Okay, say a little bit more.
I feel like God is asking me to align myself with him and not look anywhere else for my source.
Mm.
For anything. Last year was very difficult for me, very emotional, and I just turned your radio station on and they said word and acquiesce just dropped into my head.
Okay, and you're the perfect person. I mean, when someone does this, which is my favorite scenario, if that word dropped into your head, I want to hear what Jimmy has to say about it, because I think he may have some insights for you. Because so often we'll get a word, and we think it means one thing, and it can mean something completely different. But what comes to your heart, Jimmy, when you hear this word acquiesce?
Well, first of all, that is not a fifth grade word.
Exactly.
Okay. So when I think
you're
of
smart.
It, I think of surrender. And I may be getting it wrong, but when I think of that word, I think of, and it goes, it's a companion word to your previous word of struggle, because oftentimes we struggle because we try and do things in our own strength. And we don't look to God, or sometimes we do, but we still hang on. And when God is saying, hey, I want you to surrender that, I think that's where real freedom happens,
mm-hmm.
and then you begin to trust the outcome. You know, you go through the process, you do your things the way God's asking you to do it, but in the end, God's in control of the outcome. So I think of it as a word of surrender and real trust.
And Julie, you know, as Jimmy's saying surrender, I'm remembering an interview I did with Chip Ingram, and he said the most common answer he gives to people who feel stuck in their faith, it's in Romans 12, he said is surrender. He said, you want a personal revival? Surrender. And if that word comes to you, then just look in your life at what you're white-knuckling, and then open your hands and say, Lord, you get this too. You get to have a say in this area. And I just trust that God's got a personal revival ahead for you. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. We're going to grab one more call before our break, and then we're going to unpack really how it is you lay hold of a word for the next year. And we're so excited to do that. We'll continue to take your calls. Patty's calling in from Minnetonka. Patty, welcome.
Thank you. Mine is abundance.
And is that described last year or the word you get for this next year?
Last year.
Wow.
He has just done abundantly above all that I could ask or think.
Hmm.
In many areas, and he is doing so many cool things at work, and we've started a Bible study, and we see people that are turning to the Lord, and just it's quite amazing, really enjoyable.
Yes. You want to say anything, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's really cool because when I think of looking back in the rearview mirror about this year and saying what how did my word work its way through. And to be able to filter through those circumstances in life, and God has done more than you expected. That's his nature. His
mm-hmm.
nature is always to do more than we expect or can imagine. So when you have that word, it becomes a filter and a focus. You know, you're able to filter circumstances in your life around the goodness of God, around his abundance, and you're able to focus in on that word and be able to see him at work in the circumstances of your life.
And what I love about that idea of filters, because I'm sure if Patty looked over her shoulder, she could point to some of the hard things that happened in 2014 because they're there. But she really is focusing on the provision and the breakthrough of God. And I think even where you put your focus makes such a difference. Well, Patty, thanks for a call. You're getting the candy bar and a book. Thanks for calling. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from Jimmy about just the process we can go through to get a sense. Because it's not like he said before, picking a word out of the air. It really is about laying hold of the word that God has for you because he has a purpose for you in 2015. And so don't go away. We'd still welcome your questions, comments, 877-933-2484. I think I got about 5 candy bars left. I know those are, I love bribery. It just works. More with Jimmy Page in a minute. Got to open our eyes. God is moving everywhere. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored to have you along for the ride today. Talking to my friend Jimmy Page. He co-authored the book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And so we've been taking calls that first segment. Just how would you sum up last year if you had to do it in one word? Well, the point of this one word book is to get a vision, in a sense, for the word that will mark your year coming up. And so, Jimmy, let's do this first. Do you have a passage of scripture you want to share with us, since we always tend to start out our conversations that way?
Absolutely. My verse for today, and I love this part, is Colossians 1:29. And it says, to this end, meaning spiritual maturity, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Hmm. Talk about that passage.
Verse,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
Because it really talks about Jesus being the center of it. You know, that it's him that gives you the energy for life, that his spirit is the one that sustains you and moves you and speaks to you and reminds you of who Christ is and what he means to you. So I strenuously contend for spiritual maturity with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me.
And that really implies initiative and a laying hold of, and not just being carried along, but leaning forward and engaging, right? I love that. From,
yeah,
one,
I think
from
it's
one
a
athlete
partnership,
to the next.
Right? That we're,
right.
We're co-heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
And that we have faith and we have works that have been prepared before we even knew it, that we need to step in.
Indeed. We have Tricia calling in from Moscow somewhere. I don't know where. Where is it? Idaho. Tricia, welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We're great. And I'm wondering if your word is from last year or you have a sense of a word for 2015.
Well, my word for last year is just humbling, and then just this next year, just believe.
Okay.
Faith.
Say a little bit more.
This coming month, so in January 2015, I'll be married for 2 years. And early this past year, my husband and I were just really convicted and started praying and memorizing scripture together and really digging into the word. And God really used that to just reveal a lot of sin that was in my own heart, that a lot of lying that I was even just like self-deception and that I ended up having to confess to my husband. And I describe it like going in and thinking, oh, I'm just going to go clean out this little closet and realize there's like 30,000 corners in this closet that I didn't know were there. And just really realizing that I was thinking I could check off the box of being a good wife and being a good mother. Where actually I have a 1-year-old now, and we're expecting our second child this summer. But you know, just putting my reliance on all these things except Christ, and then really just having to going forward in this next year. You know, my husband is an amazing, you know, forgiving man, but it was hard. This last year was very hard and very humbling for me.
You know, Tricia, I just got to tell you, I adore your heart. And I think, you know, just yesterday or the day before, I recorded an interview with Tim Keller, and he had stepped up his prayer life, and you're going to hear this interview next week. But he had said it was bittersweet. It was sweet because he came into the presence of God and knew him more. But the bitter, hard part was the more I spent time in his light, the more I realized my personal need. And so the humility that you have, even not only to draw near, but to in your drawing near, let God shine his light, is only an invitation. He's calling you up to do more in and through you. So I just love your heart. And Jimmy, I just know you enough to know you're probably feeling the same, but did you want to give a word of encouragement to Tricia?
Man, I feel the same way. And to be at that place so early in your marriage,
yeah,
to kind of wipe the slate clean in many ways, and to be honest, you know, you're now setting the foundation moving forward for a really great and impactful marriage, you know, where you guys will be living on mission, where there'll be a tremendous amount of trust in the relationship. So I look at it as, wow, how courageous of you to be able to, once you get into the closet, to clean it out, and you discover it's a walk-in closet, you know, and you didn't think it was going to be that bad, but to be able to face it and to be able to bring it to light, because God says bring it to light, and it has no power over you. Now you've been set free, you have forgiveness, and what a great foundation moving forward.
And so, Tricia, what did you say for your sense of your word for 2015?
Just believe, you know, to have faith. I think the enemy has just been really attacking you talk about life verses, and mine, I guess, even just this year verse has been, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because there have been such times of doubting and just hard times where it's like I need God and I just don't see him.
Mm. What do you say, Jimmy?
Well, you know, belief and faith are companions, right? And so that idea of belief, my wife had the word believe when she went through her cancer diagnosis 6 years ago. That was her word, one of the most difficult years of her life. And the enemy used to try and, you know, throw darts, those fiery darts, to get her to doubt, to get her to be discouraged, defeated, all those things that he's doing to you right now. That word is a powerful word, because you use it as a companion of faith to extinguish the darts of the enemy and say, you know what, that's trash. That's not truth. We play the truth and trash game. You know, is that word true or is it trash? And you can immediately take those words from the enemy and say, you know, that's trash. That if it's making me doubt or be discouraged, I know that's from the enemy. And then you can rest assured that God is going to do some big things.
And if, you know, scripture says, if you believe, you will see. It's like your faith will become sight in due time, Tricia. And as you dig in with the Lord and he shines his light, remember, there is now therefore no condemnation. So you get to be a work in progress without any of the condemnation. So as you're on this journey of discovery of who you are in Christ and he shows you things, it's always an invitation up, never to beat you down. And so, man, I pray you call us back someday and tell us how you're doing. So nice to meet you.
Thanks, Susie. Nice to meet you too.
God bless you. Wow, I like her. What a sweetheart. My goodness.
Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, we've got about 3 minutes before we need to take a break. And so tell me what your word was for this past year. You told me last time you were on, but I don't remember.
Yeah, my word for 2014 was connect.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was the year before it was breathe. So I needed that margin and discovered that margin and the margin in the rest of breathing. And this year was connect. And I really saw God bring a lot of transformation in the relationships that I have. Use that word. We live in a time when we can connect in so many different ways, from texting to Snapchat to Facebook. You know, you can connect in 1,000 ways without actually having meaningful connections. And this past year has been one of meaningful connections.
Hmm.
I think initially, of course, with just that consistency with God, saying, hey, I'm setting aside this time. I'm going to connect with God before I connect with others. And then that made me better as I started to engage with other people. So it's been a real year of being able to discover those relationships that are most important to me and really making a connection and being present in the moment.
Anything about that word surprise you over 2014?
You know, I don't know why I'm surprised by this every year, but I'm increasingly surprised by how often it is in front of me. You know, it is absolutely everywhere. Once you start focusing on it, it just seems to crop up everywhere. I think that one of the ways that it surprised me was I connected the food that I was eating to my moods.
Wow.
Right? So now I'm a real health nut. I mean, I train every day. My wife and I, our family, we eat organic. We eat very clean. She's a vegetarian. I'm a flexitarian, but nonetheless. So I really started to see when I compromised on my food, I made the connection to my mood. I was either grumpy or I was tired or I didn't feel very good. So I then could go back and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to eat that again. I'm going to make that change.
I love this because initially, of course, you think of relationship connection, which I love that too, because as you say, you can have a false sense of connection with people when it's really this just surface text or something, when face to face and taking yeah. initiative really does deepen the relationship. But any other connections you made that if I do this, then this?
Well, you know, I think one of the connections just on a professional level was I started to see myself as a connector. So my word is connect, and I started to see myself in such a way that when I would meet someone, I immediately thought, who can I connect that person to? You know, who would benefit from knowing this person? And I started to make more connections that way, and then I saw God do bigger things as I made those handoffs in relationships.
Wow, because that became your fruit as well, didn't it?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
So interesting. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how you discern your one word for 2015. We'll kind of walk through the process. We actually got a few copies of Jimmy's book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. It's a little hardcover book, and it doesn't take long to read. It just sort of equips you to sit down and discern what that word is. And if the next few callers will get a copy of this book, maybe you've got some questions for Jimmy about how to figure out your word, or maybe you've got a sense of it and you just want him to help you along, now's the time to call. So you'll get a copy of Jimmy's book, and I think we've got a few candy bars left. 87. I don't know why. I just love giving candy bars away. But if it's connected negatively with your mood, you probably shouldn't have one. So 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More with Jimmy Page in a moment.
Hallelujah, we can sing it. Hallelujah, heaven's singing. Hallelujah.
all started with a baby boy. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Happy Friday to you. Talking to my friend Jimmy Page about his book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And my question to you is, if you have a sense of one word, has God kind of dropped a word in your heart, a point of focus for this next year? This is what this book is about. We've got three copies and three candy bars left. And so if you've got a sense of the word, we'd love to hear it. Or if you just need some help figuring it out, we'd love to have a conversation with you about it. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Just saying, you should probably put that on your speed dial so you can just call me on a moment's notice. Lisa's calling from St. Cloud. She's got a word. Lisa, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Susie.
Hi. What's your word?
My word for 2015 is stand.
Wow, that's a great word. How did you come upon that? What does that mean to you?
I guess this last year, I've walked with the Lord for many years, and this past year has been, I don't know why, it wasn't really a hard year, but I've been so heavy-hearted, and I've doubted that I just believe the Lord really wants me to stand and believe that His Word is true and that He does love me.
Mm-hmm. So precious, Lisa. Jimmy, do you want to speak to Lisa about her word stand and even just, you know, what she's come through in this last year?
Yeah, it's such a powerful word because it brings, you know, sometimes we don't know what else to do. You know, I look at circumstances in my life over many years, you know, looking back on it, when that's all you know to do is to stand. But that is the place of peace. It really, God intends that place to be the place of peace and trust and certainty in who He is. Because you're not striving, you're not working to fix it. It's that place of total surrender. You're willing to stand up for what you believe in. You're willing to stand for those things that you need to. And you're willing to stand with other people that may need to stand, may need you to stand with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a powerful word. And I just want to encourage you because I believe that that's a perfect place for God to be very real and very present in your life.
And I'm thinking, Lisa, of the different passages, that one scripture that talks about that He's brought us into His presence where we now stand. I'm thinking of Luke 10:19. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them and nothing will injure you. And that speaks of your authority, that the enemy and his lies belong under your feet. I mean, to me, when you think about just some of the plaguing doubts and just feeling burdened and maybe not yourself, it's this to me is an invitation to put the right things under your feet and to stand on the promises of God. Don't you feel like that, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and that is an unshakable foundation.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. When you stand on God's word, He says that when the storms come, your house will stand. And it's just such a great promise for us.
Boy, so would it be a good idea for her? I mean, my instinct would be to look up that word, look it up in a thesaurus, then look up scripture with the word stand. Any other ways that she can sort of unpack that to see its meaning expand for her?
Absolutely. You know, that, Susie, that is the best way to do it, I have found, is to do a Bible search and find every place that God uses that word and the stories around it, and then pick one of those verses and say, that's going to be the verse that I associate with my word, and read through those passages throughout the year. Maybe it's one a week or one a month to encourage you. That's a key thing. The other thing is that we've started to coach people to do is to come up with a statement around that word. So as the year begins, you may create just a short statement that reinforces the reason that you chose that word. So with my word for this year, just as a parallel, an example, my word was connect. My one phrase was, I will connect with God before I connect with others. And it just reminded me every day what I was there to do.
Mm,
I would recommend you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Thank you.
God bless you, dear sister. Thanks for calling. 877-933-2484. I think we've got two copies of Jimmy's book, One Word, and two candy bars left. Sarah is calling in from Sioux Falls, and I think she might need help with a word. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Well, did I say your name right?
My problem is trying to stick to one word. But this past year was so amazing. I am just looking ahead with anticipation.
Hmm.
I just One tiny sample is that, well, our home was destroyed where we lived before, and so we had to move, so we relocated down here. And it interfered with plans that we had had for a mission outreach. But here we are, and I decided to reach out to Master Gardeners. Suddenly, I am helping immigrants from Bantu, Somali, people who have been in refugee camps in Pakistan. Mm. The Lord is bringing a mission field right to my garden plot.
Wow. That's amazing.
So now, I need to get a copy of the book that you were talking about before, because here are people of Muslim background who have no background in their own faith because they were displaced.
Yeah.
So they know that that's their heritage, but they're not really grounded in that, and they're very curious about Christians.
Well, Sarah, you're going to get a copy. You're going to get a copy, excuse me, of Jimmy's book, One Word, and that'll help you sort it through. But as you're talking, and I don't want to pick a word for you, but I got to say, the word that keeps coming to me is seed, because of this whole gardening thing. But if you have faith as a mustard seed, the word of God, you know, the seed in the good soil, how does that land on you?
Well, I think that's good. That's also very good, because many times I know as Christians we get so over busy that we're almost like the seed that sprung up quickly.
Yep.
And then we get so overwhelmed with our programs and our duties and our services that we don't feed our own roots.
Well, Jimmy, did you have questions for Sarah or comments for her?
Well, I had a couple of ideas. When you were saying anticipation really indicates a clarity for the future, an expectation of things that God is going to do in the future. That's that anticipation. I think of, you know, Christmas Day is coming up, and there's an anticipation of what God's going to do. And then when Susie suggested the word seed, it's interesting. My wife, her word last year was seed, 2013, was seeds. And her whole focus was built around the idea of planting seeds that would eventually be harvested. You'd have no idea when that harvest would come, but she was going to be faithful with planting those. So it's the same thing. You're sowing seeds into the future that God is going to bring to harvest. Mm. I love it.
Well, one way or another, you're going to get this book, Sarah. And this really, like I said, it's just a really helpful tool to sit down with the Lord, kind of clear the clutter and get the word from him. And so I'm excited to get this in your hands. Thanks for your call. And this is the point that you'd made last time that I think is so important. We can maybe pull a word out of the air, and sometimes that's God dropping it into our souls. But this really is a word from God that it's his intent for us. So say a little bit more about that.
Well, part of the process, you know, I think in the early days when Dan and I in particular and John began this process, we used to pick a word. You know, we would list the words and we would grab one that looked cool, you know, or we thought, man, that's what I really need. But this process is designed, it's so simple, three steps: look in, look up, and look out. And that looking in process is where you unplug and ask God, what do I need, what's in the way, and what's got to go? And you listen. You know, you get away from all the busyness of life into that quiet place where you can actually hear his voice. And that process, I think, is where you begin to discover God's word for you, a God word, not a good word. A good word is one you pick, but a God word is the one that you know in your spirit, oh, you know, that is my word for this year.
So,
and that's what we're after. We're after a God word because he's writing his story, history. He's writing his story in your life. So you wanna seek him for your word.
So the first thing is to sit down, to get with God, and to listen and to say, what do I need? So connect that with your word, connect. Okay, so last year, I think you start kind of seeking this out in like November, don't you, for the next year?
Yes.
Okay, so you're sitting down looking at 2013, and you're looking ahead to 2014, and you're thinking to yourself, what do I need? How'd you answer that?
Yeah, that question for me, what became very obvious was, even though I was where I was supposed to be, you know, I never missed stuff with my kids, I was there for the important moments, blah, 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 I wasn't really present fully. Those connections were good, but I was always thinking ahead. There was always something going on in my mind that was taking me to that next place. And I knew God was saying, no, I need you to really connect. You know, your kids are teenagers. This is that time when you really need to connect. You need to listen listen with your eyes and listen with your ears and stop thinking about the future or worrying about what's behind. You've got to, you know, you've got to really connect. So that was that process for me.
Okay.
What needs to go? Distractions.
Mm. Okay. So, and what was in your way was this heavy schedule and the demand. So did part of discerning that word include a game plan? I need to clear away some of the clutter, or how did that unfold?
Yeah, I knew that for me, I was booked up pretty hard. You know, my schedule was booked, and I knew that if I was pushing one thing to the next, I was always going to feel some level of anxiety or stress around moving from where I currently am to where I need to be. So I needed to free up some time in my schedule that allowed me to actually be fully connected with those that I was with at that moment. And the other thing, this is really good. I have a small addiction to my smartphone, and I discovered that was really interfering with my ability to connect. So, all of a sudden, my wife was real good at telling me, hey, you need to put that away. When you come home, you need to put it away, put it on the charger, and get rid of it, and that way you can really dial it in. And that was a turning point for me. Mm-hmm. So that's another aspect of what I knew needed to change in order to have this word connect.
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but a few years ago I had a very vivid dream, and I woke up and I said, I almost never dream. And I told my hubby, I said, I dreamt we were in a fishing boat and my iPhone fell over and went into the lake, and I cried like a baby. And he just deadpan said, what did that dream tell you? I'm like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Right. Oh my God.
Anyway.
That's a classic story.
Yes. So you don't have to give away the answer if you don't want to, but do you already have a sense of your word? I know you and you guys get together with friends on New Year's Eve and you all write your word down, and your kids do that too, which I love. But yes. Do you unveil that? Do you wait till then, or do you have a sense of what that word is now?
Well, I do. I have the word. This is the first time in the history of doing this that I've had a word 11, you know, a couple weeks before the new year. And my word is momentum.
Mm.
And it's this idea of, you can either have positive or negative momentum in any area of your life. And in the book, we talk about those six dimensions of life, everything from physical, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual, and financial. We talk about how does one word impact those six dimensions. And this concept of momentum is, hey, you could have negative momentum in a relationship that you need to do something about. So what do I need to do? The most common picture of this is in an athletic game. Something happens where a big play is made to swing the momentum. And that was my first thing in this was, hey, you need to make a play. You need to make a play to change any negative momentum you might have in your life and turn it around and make it positive momentum, something that gains strength and gains speed over time.
That is so good. And what I also think, just from that athletic perspective, is that the small disciplines are what are required to gain a big momentum. I mean, you can't neglect
That's right.
the small steps if you want a big sustainable momentum.
Right.
Wow, very interesting. Well, we're going to take a short break. We have one segment left. If you want to call in and need some help processing, sorting through, we'll even pray with you to help you get a sense of what the word is. We'd love to hear. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. When we come back, maybe Jimmy will share some stories of people that he's coached and worked with who've chosen a word, and maybe it just turned out to be something totally different than what they thought. Don't go away. We'll be right back. About that, he's come for us, this Jesus. That's my friend Meredith Andrews. I love her voice. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really great talk with Jimmy Page. He comes on every once in a while. Today we're kind of wrapping up 2014, looking ahead to 2015 with the One Word Principle. He co-authored a book with Dan Britton and John Gordon, One Word That Will Change Your Life, and just helping you work through a process to get a sense of the word that God has for you for 2015, just to keep in front of you so that it becomes your filter and your focus. And because God not only wants, he doesn't want something from you as much as he wants something for you, but it will call something from you. And Jimmy, you know, it's so funny. A few months ago when we had you on, I think it was towards the the end of the summer, and we were saying, how do you want to wrap up this year? And maybe you haven't been focused, but let's get focused now so we end strong. My girlfriend Daryl was listening, and so she was, the word that just came to her, she was listening to you and I talk, was the word move. And she was thinking, I don't want to move. I like where I live. But it was such a strong word. But after we processed it a little bit, she got a sense that God was saying, I want to move in you. I want to move through you. And that has really happened in the last few months. It's so amazing. And so sometimes our words can sort of scare us off if we get a sense of a word. And like you said, I don't like that word. I'm going to pick my own word. But I want you to talk about just that we can trust God. If there's a word that we don't quite understand, to just sit with him for a little bit and let him kind of download it for us.
Yeah, the word almost never ends up exactly like you thought it might when the year started. I remember my son this year, my second son, Jake, who's 18, his word for the year is choice. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, he had no idea. He's like, I don't know why this is my word. I don't like my word. I mean, he was going in, basically digging in both heels, like, I don't like this word. I want God to give me a different word. And throughout this year, though, now he just looked back. We just kind of did this, hey, let's look back and do our one-word review for the year. And he said, it's incredible this year how many choices he had to make throughout this year and the direction that those choices have taken his life. It's profound. So to start the year not having any idea why this word was your word, not really wanting it, to then being able to see the hand of God move in that word in just multiple circumstances has been really cool.
I bet it's a real unifying thing in your marriage, too, when you're both doing this. It's just sort of a practice that you and your wife are both seeking God for a word, because you're sort of holding each other accountable in the best sense of the word, but you're also journeying together. What's that been like for you marriage-wise?
Well, you learn early on that you can't use the word as a club.
Yes.
You know, because the tendency is to say, isn't your word kindness? You know, and then they get offended by it. And then they're like, yeah, my word's kindness. But, you know, this isn't the time to bring up my word. But what it's really done for us is, if you truly want the best for your spouse or for your kids, then you will find, what I found is, I find ways that I see that word at work in Evelise, and she does with me. And she'll even point it out, like, hey, what's your word again? And then it'll trigger it, and I'll go, oh, that explains this. Or now I see what God is doing. So the neat thing about sharing it with people you love is that they can help you see the things that God may be trying to do with that word to make you your best and to transform you into the likeness of his son.
And people who have your back, who are really willing to kind of come alongside you, as you said, not conk you on the head with it. But, okay, so you've coached a lot of people. Tell me, give us some examples, if you would, of people who chose a word and just some life lessons that came out of them.
Well, it's interesting. I'll use some that are close to home. My son, Jimmy, who's my oldest son, he's 20. His word 2 years ago was boom. And, you know, he had kind of had a little bit of a tough high school road, very small school, great school, but, you know, tough kind of navigating with friends and other things, and had a lot of success, but really had some challenges on that side. And he felt before he went away for college, he's like, this is going to be a breakout year. You know, my word is boom. And he came upon the beginning of that year where he was getting ready to go away to Liberty University for his first year of college. And he had been invited to try out for the lacrosse team, good little lacrosse player. And I think he wasn't sure whether he was going to do it. Wanted to try out, but wasn't sure. And we had this opportunity to have a conversation in August of that year. And I said, you know, don't not do it out of fear, but instead, your word this year is boom. This is a breakout year. You know, pursue this and close that chapter on your life. If you go for it and you don't make it, hey, you can close the door and say, man, I went for it. I gave it everything I got. But if you go for it and you make it, then the lesson is going to be made as well, that, hey, don't operate out of fear. Take a risk. Go for it. Boom, break out. And then, of course, you know, the story goes, he went for it. He made the team. By the grace of God, he made the team, and he's had a couple great years on the lacrosse team. It's been a real blessing. So I don't think any of us knew how that word, boom, was going to play out in his life, but it was pretty excited to see two or three ways that it did during the year.
Wow, that's good. So, okay, let's review again for the person listening how they discern their word. This action plan is, first you look in, and you ask yourself the question, what do I need? what's in my way, what needs to go. Can you maybe even just give an example from your own life of another year, another word, and how you process this through, just to help us a little bit? So I know you probably got most of your words memorized and the years attached to them, right?
I do. You know, you it's funny you say that, because each word ends up being a chapter in my story.
Wow.
You know, if you had asked me before I started doing this one word thing, if I could remember some milestones from any given year, I would have thought, no way, my memory's not that good. But I do know my words for those years, and I know the chapters, the stories that God has written around those words. So one of my words was, back in 2009, my word was train. And as I was going through this process, I was discovering, hey, what do I really need this year? You know, do I need more intensity? No, I'm pretty intense. Do I need more passion? No, probably not. But this idea of training your mind, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to be purposeful about your thinking. Physically, I was pretty healthy, but what I discovered was what I needed was more consistency. I needed to train for something. So I put some events on the calendar, and it kept me much more consistent. Training spiritually, and on it goes. I was really discovering, hey, if these are the things I need, the word train kind of wraps all those things up. And it was an incredible year of growth and change.
And that just goes to show you, Jimmy, that if you don't have something like that before, you can kind of do what you've always done and then wonder why nothing ever changes. Because we all have our default modes because it's comfortable and it's what we know, right?
That's right. And I think the word gets you out of your comfort zone for sure. Because if you are open to listening for the word that God might have for you, then you have to be open to the idea that God wants to do some things in you and through you. And that's really step two, is that looking up. Okay, Lord, I want to discover my word. And this is where you plug in and you listen. And you ask God that question. What do you want to do in me and through me this year? So this one-word process gets you a little out of your comfort zone and lets you tune into God for the word that he might have for you for that year.
And where this is different than a New Year's resolution, which I think I read 87% or something fall by the wayside eventually, this is you're partnering with God. You're getting a sense of what he wants for you and from you and through you. And then, as you say, you keep it in front of you. You might put it on a post-it on your dashboard. You guys paint your word on a picture and you put them on the wall. What are some other ways that you keep it before you so it doesn't fall by the wayside?
Well, you hit it on the head that this isn't like resolutions, because the one word is really about, it's about to be rather than to do. The resolutions are a checklist. You know, what am I going to do this year? What am I going to accomplish? But the one word is really about transformation. It's about who are you becoming. So when we start to live it out, I've seen screensavers. I've seen people put it on little pieces of jewelry, whether it's on a necklace or a key. I've seen people write it on their arms. A lot of teams will write their words on the ball. So if you're a basketball team, I've seen professional and amateur teams write those on basketballs. Other people will write it on something and put it in their pocket and take it with them wherever they go. It's just that constant reminder, because, you know, we know that where your focus goes, your energy flows. I know that if I'm focused on it, I'm going to put some energy behind it. So we want to make sure that whatever it is, we've got to have a consistent reminder of that.
Where your focus goes, your energy flows. Boy, it's so great talking with you. Appreciate the way you pour into our listeners, Jimmy. And as we wrap up, I'm just thinking there's plenty of our listeners listening that haven't even thought to look ahead as far as, God, what do you have for me for next year? Would you just pray that we would all get a real strong sense of the invitation of the Lord for this next year?
I'd love to. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this unique concept, this simple, powerful concept of one word for the year, Lord. And we pray that you will use this in each of our lives as we look ahead for 2015, that we wouldn't look ahead with fear or a lack of expectancy, but instead we would look with optimism and hope and encouragement. Lord, as we seek you, we pray that you would drop that word into our spirit. As we're quiet before you, seeking you, Lord, show us what you want to do in us and through us this year. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Jimmy, you are a good friend. Thank you for spending time with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
Title of Jimmy's book is One Word That Will Change Your Life. a little bit of heaven everywhere. Pray that you enjoy your weekend. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's programs on our website, myfaithradio.com. I know how to say it, myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send the programs out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Be blessed. Pause and notice the sacred moments because God is with you, right? And finally, you'll hear this from me every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.